Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank Simon Parks, a famous English politician, so much for coming on my show during the first hour. And during this second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Dane Winnington, the director of geoengineeringwatch.org that does wonderful scientific research into the secret U.S. government weather modification program and chemtrail program. But before we go on to Dane, he's on the line now. I have a small favor to ask of all my listeners around the world. My cat Fluffy, who's the mascot for the show, you can see his picture at www.outofthisworld1150.com, hasn't been feeling well. I took him to the kitty doctor yesterday and got some antibiotics, and if you could just please send lots of love and light to my dear friend Fluffy, I'd really appreciate it. Before we go on, too, I want to thank everyone for their prayers a week ago for Standing Rock in North Dakota. We took a moment of silence and visualized that the violence would end there and that the area around Standing Rock would be restored to its beautiful, pristine state and with new energy devices for not only in the United States but also around the world, which would not pollute the environment. And I have to tell you, everyone listening today, I want to thank you so much for your prayers because they worked. They did help. I know they did help, but your prayers and good thoughts really helped calm down a potentially explosive situation. And I'd like to take a short break now, and everyone, I could say this brief prayer for the people of around the Standing Rock area, North Dakota. If you could just say this after me. For the people, water, and land of Standing Rock, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you. We thank you, and please bring peace to this troubled area. That's based upon the Ho'oponopono of Hawaii, a very healing Hawaiian prayer. I'd like to do this twice more. For the people, land, and water of Standing Rock, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you. We thank you, and please bring peace to this troubled area. And one last time, for the people, land, and water of Standing Rock, we're sorry. Please forgive us. We love you. We thank you, and please bring peace to this troubled area. If you can just visualize just for the next 15, 20 seconds, I'm going to take just a moment of silence to please send lots of love and light to the Standing Rock area for continued healing and that the situation will be resolved in a very peaceful way and the area restored to its pristine state with which much better non-polluting energy sources for the United States and around the world. Thank you so much, friends. Finally, the one thing that the media has forgotten in the United States is, of course, Fukushima. You don't hear anything about it on the press here at all in the media, but it's still a problem. And for that, I'd like for you to ask everyone to please send lots of love and light to the people and children of Fukushima, and especially to the Emoto Peace Project. They do such wonderful work in helping the children there and the people of Fukushima. Yesterday, December 8th, was the day in 1980 when John Lennon was murdered in New York, and I'd like to play the first couple of minutes of his beautiful song, Imagine, and then go on to my desk, Dane Winnington of the geoengineeringwatch.org. For its memory of John Lennon, I'd like to play this song, Imagine, just for the first couple of minutes.
To
you may say I'm a dreamer. And with that, I'd like to bring in my wonderful guest, Dave Whittington of geoengineeringwatch.org. Dave, hi. Welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Hello, Ted. Thank you for your willingness to educate your listeners on the critical climate engineering issue. Not enough people understand what's happening in our skies, and they need to.
Well, I appreciate you so much. I learned about chemtrails and geoengineering the hard way. I used to live in a little town in eastern Washington called Moses Lake, and there the U.S. Navy was spraying chemtrails so much every other day until I moved in October of 2014 that the aluminum rates in the air were 10,000 times beyond what they should be. Barium and strontium levels were extreme toxicity levels, resulting in the stillbirths of babies in the area, skyrocketing Alzheimer's disease, as well as a lot of breast cancer. So I learned the hard way what chemtrails are all about, and I know that you've done some fascinating research on geoengineering. You have a little bit about your background. You have a background in solar energy. You're a former employee of Bechtel Power Corporation and was a licensed contractor in California, Arizona. You've been engaged in constant climate and geoengineering research for over a decade. Your personal residence was a feature in a cover article on the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. You own a wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta. What's that like? Do you have lots of animals there next to you?
Not so much anymore. And in fact, in the last 10 years, the forest has gone nearly silent. It's staggering, the decline here in not just the wildlife, but also the vegetation. It's very different than it was 10 years ago. You couldn't find a dead tree 10 years ago. Now they're everywhere. Same with some of the most hardy brush species like manzanita. You know what a manzanita is, Ted?
Yeah, I do.
And one of the staple foods in the forest, no berries on almost any of the manzanita, so there's really no food. So the turkey populations, bear, deer, bats, everything is really crashed in the last 10 years, staggeringly so, unfortunately.
I was driving down past Shasta about a month ago on my way to the San Francisco Bay Area. It was early in the morning, Dane, about 6:30 in the morning, and I was just north of just came over the California border from Oregon, Dane, and it was very early in the morning. Beautiful sunrise, but the thing I noticed, there must have been at least 15, 20, 30 chemtrails back and forth, crisscross around the sky. And I said to myself, "Oh my goodness! I wonder what kind of effect that's having on the environment. Is the forest dying off? Is that a result of the chemtrail being sprayed down there where you are?"
Well, it's certainly a big factor, especially in our case. Now, I don't want to imply to anybody that there's any lack of anthropogenic sources of damage to the planet. I mean, the human race has been unimaginably poor stewards of the planet, and we're damaging the biosphere from countless directions. And in regards to so your listeners understand what geoengineering is, or climate engineering, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injection. All of these terms imply a manipulation of Earth's climate system. And this is, although we're sold that these programs are some sort of benevolent approach to slowing down a runaway greenhouse effect, runaway warming, we have 70 years of data to say conclusively that these programs are not only not helping overall, they're harming. They're making a bad situation far worse. Mm-hmm. So in regard to the forest decline, again, lots of factors are affecting the environment overall. But in the case of forest in latitudes like we are at in Northern California, that would be thriving from increased rain from a warming planet, are now in massive decline, most primarily due to climate engineering, because you have bioavailable metals coming down in the rain, as you described earlier, Ted.
Right.
You have a shredded ozone layer, so we have unimaginably intense UV radiation that we can talk about later in the show. You have more dry lightning because you have a more electrically conductive atmosphere from those electrically conductive particles. You have the worst of all worlds, and you have a disrupted hydrological cycle. The rain cycle has been radically altered and disrupted, causing much protracted drought, also causes the forest to burn. And these particles are causing massive fungal proliferations, because the particles, like Ted, you would know this, when you take antibiotics in the human body, you can become much more susceptible to other types of infections because you're killing off your good flora, right?
Sure, right.
So the same is true with the environment. When you're killing microbes that are beneficial to the environment and the soils and so forth, you're inviting fungal proliferation. So funguses are killing a lot of things in the forest as well. But so many roads lead right back to climate engineering. So it's a major, major factor with the decline in life here.
I have to ask you this question, Dane, and you have a scientific background, which makes your interview today so fascinating because you've got the scientific evidence to back things up. You recently posted two articles there on your website indicating that the current snow blizzard and record cold temperatures at Standing Rock in North Dakota were actually the result of geoengineering, and secondarily, a lot of the snow that people are experiencing in that area at Standing Rock is moisture diverted from California, which needs it so desperately so badly for its crops. I know I have a lot of listeners in California. Some of them are farmers. And so I want them to hear what you have to say about that. I think they'll find it very interesting.
Let me preface this first with a lot of people knowing Dakota has always had historically rough winters, which we don't dispute.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that this event has not been radically augmented by climate engineering. And for those who doubt that a snowstorm can be engineered, I invite them to search Chinese scientists create engineered snowstorm, and they'll see that popular science, Fox News, and many other science sites covered the fact that the Chinese government was actively chemically nucleating what should have been rain into snow, lowering the temperatures down on the ground, creating a very heavy, wet, destructive snow, very cold to the touch.
Pardon me for interrupting, Dane. You mean that the Chinese government is behind the blizzard?
No. I'm only trying to point out these processes are well known and well practiced, and that even the Chinese government does it. So of course our government has more technology than the Chinese government.
Right.
I'm only pointing out to those who think that a snowstorm can't be engineered. We know from other media that covered what the Chinese did that we are certainly doing it here. We have U.S. patents for chemically engineering snowstorms going back to 1950.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to point out for those people who, without any research, without any objective investigation, conclude that it's not possible to engineer a snowstorm, I'm trying to give them an example, Ted. That's all.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry.
So in the case of the Dakota storms, what the media doesn't tell us, while they're hyping up how cold it is, and the bullseye of cold, by the way, and you can start adding all these anomalies up and ask if it's really a coincidence that it's centered right over the Dakotas, but that bullseye of cold that the media is hyping up, what they don't tell us is that as of yesterday, there were temperatures in the Arctic that were 55 degrees above normal. That cold air is pushed south with the use of ionosphere heaters that we know can manipulate upper air wind currents. Ionosphere heaters are like HARP. Maybe many of your listeners have heard of HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And the chemical nucleation of the moisture, because we see snow falling now, Ted, at 45 degrees, 50 degrees. Don't people remember the laws of physics that relate to nucleation, that you shouldn't have snow falling at these temperatures? And it can't without chemical nucleation. And as one more piece of evidence for the chemical nucleation that's going on, I would challenge your listeners to search Ice Boulders, Lake Michigan, and they'll see photographs that will shock them. In the last 4 to 5 years, massive 75 to 100-pound ice boulders have appeared on Lake Michigan when the water in the lakes was 40 degrees and higher. How do you have giant ice boulders with water temperatures 40 degrees and higher? Because of chemical ice nucleation again. So I'm just simply trying to get people to actually investigate the facts. And when we look at Dakota, record snowstorm right over the protest area, we look back at the Occupy Wall Street freak snowstorm, October surprise snowstorm, it's record snow again. Are these just coincidences when we know that this technology exists and we know our governments are using it?
That is just incredible. You've supplied some really interesting scientific data on this in your articles that you published recently. Tell me more, Dane. What else do you think has been caused by geoengineering or by weather modification?
If I could add one more bit to the Dakota storms, what we saw in the inception, because we just had the warmest autumn ever recorded in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you've seen that statistic, but any of your listeners can look it up. We had the second warmest November ever recorded. How does that immediately flip to record snow, record cold? And when we have the satellite images of warm water being pumped right out of the Gulf of Mexico north, circulating, this is the start of the Dakota snowstorm 10 days ago, whenever that started, and we had rain happening in Minnesota at above 50 degrees, and suddenly that moisture ends up in Dakota coming down in snow now, and we have the satellite images showing, it's in my article I did on this, and your listeners can look up power structure, wages, weather, warfare, and Dakota pipeline protesters. That's the name of the article. And so we have the satellite animation showing these bands of above freezing temperature rain flashing out to snow, no orographic enhancement, which means no mountains, no colliding air mass, it just flashes out to snow. And that's the harbinger sign of chemical ice nucleation being dispersed from jet aircraft over the clouds, chemically nucleate snow. And people, Ted, I'm sure that your listeners know that ski resorts create snow from various mechanisms. And right. And we know that the chemical nucleation process exists. NASA has a patent, chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. So all we're saying is all the data is there. We have 750-page Senate documents, presidential reports. We have lab tests of this snow coming down, showing the exact elements in the snow that are listed in climate engineering patents. Every dot connects, Ted.
So apparently what's happening now is that there are those who are using the weather modification for political purposes, apparently.
Yes, and military purposes as well. And this is also historical record for those that, again, doubt weather modification. We have Project Popeye, Project Storm Fury. We have a long list of weather modification being used in warfare. This is historical fact. There's no dispute. The U.S. was so successful in generating rain over the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam that by 1976 or 1978, the U.N. banned weather modification in wartime. But they never banned the use of it over a country's own population, and nobody pays attention to international law anyway. And we should ask ourselves, for example, is it a coincidence? Because we know climate modification is very effective at creating drought. You right. put too many particles in the air, it's too many condensation nuclei,
right.
and the moisture does not combine and fall as bigger droplets. It simply adheres to those particles and migrates. So is it a coincidence that every single Middle Eastern country that's been destabilized and toppled, every single one experienced once in a thousand year droughts before those destabilizations? And we have the leaders of those countries, like Iran, on the floor of the United Nations, on the record, stating that their country was being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs. That's on the record. Any of your viewers can look that up and watch a YouTube of that statement being made. Pardon me for that.
That's all right.
They can watch that statement being made. So again, I'm asking people not to believe me, but to investigate what I'm saying.
Sure, sure. Now, California has been experiencing a severe drought for many years. Is that caused as well by weather modification?
Yes, and let me frame that. When I state that the California drought has inarguably been a result of massive climate engineering programs, that is not to say that global warming is not real.
Sure.
It's not to say that there's not countless anthropogenic causes contributing to the overall warming of the planet. But in the case of drought, especially in the case of drought, we can hang that almost completely around the neck of climate engineering, mm-hmm. because a warmer planet must produce more rain.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of physics make that clear. The atmosphere carries 7% more moisture for every degree warming Fahrenheit of centigrade. How can you have less rain on a planet that's warming? Only from climate engineering, because it creates global dimming. It blocks the sun. That's the express purpose of SRM, which is solar radiation management.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have satellite imagery of the blanket spraying over the Pacific, which is where the water would come from for California,
right,
we know that it's disrupting the hydrological cycle. This is an absolutely indisputable fact. Mm-hmm. So in the case of California, whatever the motive, whatever the agenda, we can speculate on that. But the fact that the primary causal factor in the case of the drought in California and many other areas around the globe is climate engineering, period. And your listeners can look that up. Look, every science institution in the world acknowledges geoengineering will cause drought, mm-hmm. but they don't acknowledge that these programs have already been deployed. That's where the lie picks up.
So one of the best things we could do if we wanted to restore rain and get rid of the drought, end of the drought in California, would be to end these geoengineering programs. which are kind of, it's funny, you know, it's like what I saw in Shasta last month with all those chemtrails everywhere. It's hidden in plain sight, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do is look up and see all these crisscrossing chemtrails across the sky, 20, 30, 40 of them for the day, and where the planes go back and forth and back and forth.
It's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we pulled some FAA records. It took a congressional inquiry to or a congressional permission from a congressional aide for us to get these records.
Mm-hmm.
But FAA records of daily flights, and these planes are making loops over the state. Now, people mm-hmm. should know that's not a commercial flight.
Right.
And for your listeners, if they're, I wanted to make one point. If I know the chemtrails term is very descriptive, and many people know this by that term, but if you're trying to introduce this issue to someone else who's unfamiliar with it, you want to give them a science term so that when they go back and search online, they find science instead of conspiracy theory and hoax, because mm-hmm. the chemtrail term, again, though it's descriptive and I understand why people use it, it's not grounded or based in any science document, and the power structure has specifically made sure that anybody that searches that term leads to Wikipedia definitions of conspiracy theory, hoax, official denial from mm-hmm. NASA, from mm-hmm. the Air Force. So if we play chess and try to maneuver properly in order to win this game and expose this issue, I just want to point out the importance for people to use the science terms when they're trying to introduce to someone else.
Well, I wanted to share with you, Dane, and my listeners all over the world, there is some positive news, actually. I've been in touch. I'm a psychic. I've been in touch with the Galactic Alliance now for the past 2 years. And they're a group of benevolent extraterrestrials, very advanced, trying to help us. And they're helping us, actually, behind the scenes. They said it's just a matter of time before this chemtrail is stopped. So that's good news. They couldn't give me a time frame, but they say soon. Go ahead.
That's an arena I'm unfamiliar with, and again, I'll defer to you in that. This is I try to sure. on Geoengineering Watch. I mean, I certainly the site is based on what the hard science and hard data that people can share with others, mm-hmm. and I whatever the case and whatever allies we may have, I want to encourage people to please engage in this issue
sure.
because we have also in the spiritual institutions, if you will, I've had a lot of encounters with pastors of large congregations
uh-huh.
and what they almost without exception say to me initially when I try to pass data on this issue is they take the position that it's all in big hands. They don't have to worry about it. They don't want my data. It'll all get taken care of on its own. And I challenge them to adhere to their own scripture, which does not, in any of the major spiritual traditions, it does not allow them to sit the bench and do nothing.
Well,
and so what I try to convey to them is that we're responsible, whatever allies we may have, we're responsible to do our best, given our particular position, to sound the alarm, to try to bring these issues to light. And that's a personal responsibility, I would argue, that we all bear.
You know, Dane, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend, because I think we all have, even though the Galactics, I think, are working behind the scenes to help the situation out and stop this chemtrail weather modification program, we also have a duty and an obligation to raise awareness, tell people about it, and for us is also to take a hand and try to, you know, turn things around. In my own state of Washington here, I know that there are different jurisdictions involved in the chemical and geoengineering, chemtrails and geoengineering. In eastern Washington, as an example, you see U.S. Navy planes, Orion P-30s, 130s, coming in as close as 50 and 60 yards off the ground, spraying this black substance over people. I mean, where I used to live in Moses Lake, Washington, the pilots would fly so close, I could see their face, and I could see whether they had a mustache. I could practically see their eyes. But over here on the west side of the mountains in the Seattle to Olympia area, there is chemical spraying, but it's also done at high altitude. And mostly it's done by the U.S. Air Force out of McCord Air Force Base, just south of here in Tacoma, Washington. One of my theories about that is that, you know, this is the political base of support for Governor Inslee, who's a Democrat, is based along the Seattle-Olympia-Tacoma corridor. And so they keep the planes high above so people don't see them as much. But eastern Washington, they keep them low to the ground, and it's a different kind of program done by a different agency. And people are getting sick there. A lot of people have bronchitis. There's a lot of stillbirths over there with newborn infants, a high Alzheimer's rate, and a high instance of breast cancer as well. I finally had to move back a couple of years ago because it just got too much. The air is cleaner over here in Seattle, but most of the spraying that I've seen have all been high altitude, so you don't see it as much. And it's easy to miss if they're doing it above the cloud cover, but it is in fact happening.
It's certainly happening. It's happening all over the globe, and the ramifications of completely derailing Earth's life support systems cannot be overstated. I mean, this is a very grave and immediate threat, and I know that it matters that we don't shut down from such a threat, that we keep our motivation to engage in this battle. There's just simply a line, I would argue, from realizing the severity of the threat and yet not shutting down, facing it, and helping to turn the direction of the current human trajectory, because we're destroying the planet's life support systems. And in order to hide this, you know, back to the chemical ice nucleation, in fact, I'm looking at a NASA satellite photo as I speak to you, because we can see clearly on the sea surface in the Arctic what they're trying to do with chemical ice nucleation now, and the same type of processes that I mentioned that create the ice boulders in the Great Lakes, and they're appearing also on shores around the globe with sea temperatures far above freezing. Again, how does this happen? And have you ever seen any of those pictures, Ted, of the ice boulders that are showing up everywhere?
I haven't, Dane. I'd love to see them, though. I haven't, though.
If you search it, if you search ice boulders Lake Michigan or ice boulders washing up, you'd be shocked, absolutely shocked at the uniform beaches completely covered with almost perfectly uniform, massive, round, spherical chunks of ice. And it's truly profound that the science community is helping to hide this and pretending it's normal when it's not. But I'm looking at a NASA photo right now where we can see the chemical sea surface ice nucleation that's being done in the Arctic. This is an attempt to try to hide the fact that Arctic ice is imploding. It's at record lows right now. In fact, yesterday the ice was actually declining again in the Arctic, and that's in the middle of the refreeze season, and they're trying to chemically nucleate the surface to create the illusion that the ice pack is larger than it really is. And these are very profound images. We'll post probably next week more of these images, but you don't need to know much about meteorology to see that there's something very wrong going on in the sea surface. And what does this do? The oceans in the Arctic in some locations are as much as 25 degrees above normal. When you try to chemically nucleate and put a cap on that, you're simply holding that heat in. You're making the situation worse, not better. So everything the geoengineers interfere with, every natural system they interfere with, does harm, period.
I'd love to run a couple of ideas by you, by the way. I think there's a lot of souls here, Dane, who were part of the collapse of the Atlantean civilization 12,500 years ago. And from my research, I've been told that the civilization back then also did a lot of weather modification as well. And from a spiritual point of view, I think a lot of the souls who were alive back in Atlantean times, thousands of years ago, have come back. They've reincarnated, and some of them haven't learned their lessons, Dane, and I think they're doing the same thing they did way back then, which eventually hurt their civilization a lot. So,
I'm out of my element there again. I'm not. Okay. I'm just. It's not, you know, subject matter that I'm familiar with. I'm just. Sure. But certainly there's no disputing the fact that lessons here with the human race have not been learned in regard to even the length of these programs. 70 years they've been going on, fully deployed. And we have congressional documents from the late 1970s in which there was already – these are 750 – this is a 750-page document. Your listeners can find that. I think that would shock them as well. If they search geoengineering massive Senate document, they'll find it. And we've highlighted portions of that so you don't have to dig through the whole thing. And even in that document, it was abundantly clear that their interference with the natural systems, with highly toxic elements being used, were causing immense damage, unimaginable damage. Yet – they've done nothing but ramp the programs up. So here's the definition of insanity. Not just doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, but doing the same thing on a bigger scale.
I hope you don't mind me. My perspective on this is a little different than other people. It just comes from my background. But one of the things I want to tell you, I'm very familiar with the kinds of extraterrestrial contact this planet's had for the past since the last 1950s. And back in the 1954, President Eisenhower signed an agreement with a tyrannical race called the Reptilians that in exchange for their technology that they would study us and aid us in our fight back then with the Soviet Union in the Cold War. Well, it's been about 62 years since they've been interfaced together. And I think one of my theories about the chemical trails is that the chemical trails itself, it doesn't, like you said a minute ago, Dane, it doesn't make any human sense. Why would the U.S. military, for example, spray the American people who they're supposed to serve with these hazardous chemicals? It doesn't make any sense unless you're terraforming the planet for another species to make it more habitable to them. For example, the entities that Eisenhower signed this agreement with back in 1954 were called the Reptilians, and on their own planet of Draco, it's very, very hot. That's why, and the home planet surface of Draco is made up of a lot of aluminum, barium, strontium, and sulfur, much like what they spray. So I think there's a hidden agenda here that people don't recognize, because it doesn't make sense from a human perspective. Like you said, Dane, a few minutes ago, why on earth would our military spray its own people with these chemicals knowing that it's going to be causing damage to them? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense for a sane person, but I would argue this, that from their twisted standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Mm. And this is their standpoint of power and control. Mm-hmm. And after 15 years of researching this, and again, I'm not trying to interfere with anybody's personal conclusion on what's going on, but from my conclusion of 15 years of research, I can find nothing that can't be attributed to humans behaving badly for their own personal self-interest reasons. And mm-hmm. when you can manipulate the weather, you can win a war without ever even an opposing country even knowing they were at war, without ever firing a shot. And that's exactly what they've done. As I described, the Middle Eastern countries that were destabilized, mm-hmm. sub-Saharan African countries, same thing, for decades destabilized, and once they're brought to their knees, being forced to allow U.S. occupation. This is a weapon of war. It's a weapon of empire. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things don't make sense from a rational standpoint. Building enough nuclear weapons or detonating 2,000 plus nuclear weapons on the planet doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Building enough nuclear weapons to destroy life on Earth, or humanity at least 12,000 times over, that doesn't make sense. Punching holes in the planet and pumping toxic fracking fluid back into those holes near water that you need to pump out of the ground, that doesn't make sense. I mean, we could go on for days about what the human race does that doesn't make sense rationally, but for those that are making money off these processes, that are not benevolent, compassionate people, that are in fact in many ways clinically psychopathic, mm-hmm. For them it makes sense, and in their own twisted way. So again, this is with the history we have, the uses of these programs, the countries that have, for example, not gone along with U.S. policy, that seem to be immediately succumbed to some sort of massive weather disaster. And I could go on and on with a list of those countries that have, from Thailand and in 2011 refused the U.S. an airbase that they knew was for weather modification. They immediately found themselves under record flooding. Pakistan in 2010, resistance to U.S. policy, their country immediately slaughtered with record flooding. Mm-hmm. Slovenia, they showed resistance to some U.N. policy. They got wiped out with a 6-inch ice storm. Have you ever heard of a 6-inch ice storm with 6 inches of ice?
Never.
I mean, it's never happened before. It destroyed their country. Wow. So we don't hear about this in the U.S. And I know a lot of humans, unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say, would do any of this if it provided them a paycheck and a pension.
I was contacted about 6 months ago by a pilot who fled the United States. He used to be an Air Force pilot spraying chemtrails, and he applied for and received asylum in Sweden. He's there now hiding out. I hope to bring him on my program one of these days. Very interesting man. But he was very disturbed about all the spraying, and he said that a lot of the pilots do have second thoughts about the spraying. I want you to know that there are good people out there who are questioning it. But what's interesting is that when you go to the media, how is the media? I know that you don't find anything in the mass media about this. It's very controlled, and there's not much out there except for alternative news sources like my radio show. What has been the response of the U.S. media to your work, Dane?
Well, certainly, again, back to the paychecks and pensions, they're very hostile. I did an interview yesterday with an ABC radio affiliate, and this was in Dakota. WDAY is the call number of the station, and that host was very hostile. I'm sure his objective or his instructions were to try to marginalize this issue, and he didn't fare well because the facts are completely on our side. Mm-hmm. So for I think for listeners in that realm would be certainly at minimum interested in investigating this issue after that radio show. And I've done interviews with ABC, CBS television networks as well. Mm-hmm. And even in one case, the reporter who's their environmental reporter talking to me off the record before they did the interview, that informing me, as I already knew, that he would have to spin the reporting to some degree in order to get it past the filters to get it on the air. Mm. And so I had 6 minutes on air with a CBS television station at that point, but it was still, people are still hearing about the issue, so it was worth it. The environmental reporter was certainly sympathetic to the issue, knew it was real, but he also knew what he was up against. Now, I've been approached by National Geographic for an interview, and by a reporter who knew this was going on, was going to try to get it past NGOs' filters by weaving it into the tree die-off that we're having in our area.
Sure.
After 3 hours of conversation, you know, total 3 hours over multiple calls, that fire was put out from somewhere up the ladder. Same with the BBC reporter, same with the New York Times reporter. Been contacted by RTTV recently in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think that fire's been put out. Someone's making sure that no credible reporting gets done on this issue. So it's up to us. It's up to all your listeners. It's up to us to bring this issue to light.
Well, I'm not afraid of the truth, and that's actually what my program thrives on, and also raising consciousness too. So you have an audience of, you're listening to over 130,000 people in more than 60 countries are listening to you today. So I just wanted to tell you that, Dane. One thing I want to bring up too, this is an interesting subject that I know you're busy, you may not have had time to research it, but I've heard, and I don't have any hard evidence, but I wanted to run this by you, that sometimes commercial aircraft are also outfitted with chemicals, and they spray them in tanks alongside the regular jet fuel to hide them when they fly, let's say, internationally or domestically here in the United States. Have you heard much about that?
Yeah, we've done a fair amount of research on that. In fact, we have photographs of retrofit nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed directly into the jet engine exhaust stream to make it look like it's condensation. So we know with flight tracker downloadable apps, we can track these planes from the ground. We know commercial flights are spraying, and we know it's spray and not condensation because we have film footage of it being turned on and off. You can't turn condensation on and off. There's no question commercial aircraft are being used. But that being said, we are not implicating commercial pilots, commercial personnel, none of whom we would anticipate being directly involved because they don't need to be involved. These systems are automated. And we have a letter from a union mechanic who was eventually terminated because he wanted to know why they weren't allowed to work on these systems. And after asking too many questions, he was let go. Federal District 6 EPA employee that I should have a statement from soon was finally terminated 2 days ago because he tried – one of the primary reasons was he tried to bring to light that he was seeing aluminum in water testing that he – concluded was coming from the climate engineering programs, not what they wanted to hear, not a good career decision for him, and now he's out of a job. So he's planning on writing a statement for us as well. So, but the bottom line is we have so many order followers, Ted, so many order followers that have completely abandoned their sense of honor, their sense of responsibility toward the whole, and that's the only reason these terrible things can happen.
Well, it reminds me of during World War II in the 1930s, the so-called good Germans who didn't say anything about Hitler's rise to power and the atrocities which were created under his dictatorship reminds me of maybe this is too harsh, but maybe some of the so-called the people that you mentioned too, they don't question anything and they could come forward. But I think that you know, the more that they think about it, I think that people will come forward to hopefully, you know, tell the truth about this. And I think that, you know, I will be happy to send you. I've got studies done by the University of Wisconsin of air, water, and soil and fish samples from Moses Lake, Washington, where I was living. They were dumping heavy amounts of aluminum there. I mean, the air in the air itself, I mentioned this before, in the air itself was up like 10,000 parts per million for aluminum, so that the air around the city itself was just like a sea of aluminum. And when you caught the fish out of there, guess what was in the fish, Dane? Lots of aluminum, lots of barium, lots of strontium. And so when you eat that, it goes into your body, and the area also coincidentally has high rates of Alzheimer's because the aluminum splits the two frontal lobes so that people eventually get dementia and Alzheimer's. It doesn't take long to put 2 + 2 = 4 as to what's going on, even though the media, for example, tries to hide it. I think the information is coming out. It's certainly coming out on my program. And I know you're reaching a lot of people. You know what's funny is that CNN has had several stories recently about so-called fake news. And they've had that because people are getting tired of listening to the major media. I think that the numbers are like only 10% of the American public now trust the U.S. media now.
Well, that's why we have now. You might have seen, Ted, the recent publications about the quote fake news sites and the attempt to shut those down on the internet. Did you see that story?
I did see the story. Yeah, I did.
So geoengineeringwatch.org, out of a long list of big sites, we were like 10th on the list of 100. And you know, this is where I mean, anything is now categorized as fake news that disputes with the official narrative, which is right. Itself obviously the fake news.
Right.
And on the incidence of Alzheimer's, as you mentioned earlier, I fully agree with you on that. I mean, this is the biggest elephant in the room. Yes, there's aluminum from multiple sources, but inhaled aluminum is far more harmful to the human organism than any exposure from deodorants or cooking utensils or so forth. This is a massively larger impact to our system. So there's absolutely no question the amount of aluminum coming down on us. We have 70 lab tests in Northern California alone. It's in the rain, it's in the precipitation, so we know it's in the air column. And quite simply, this is an immediate threat to our health, our cognitive function, period. And that's why I focused all on this issue, because of all the challenges we face, if we can't breathe without inhaling this material, we're literally a fight for life. And Fukushima, as you correctly stated at the beginning of the show, absolutely massive problem that Americans have been pacified into thinking it's somehow okay now, it's taken care of. And that couldn't be further from the truth, as you correctly right. said. It's right. a nuclear triple meltdown volcano with no end in sight, no technology to fix it. But even with Fukushima, I would argue that the climate engineering would still take precedent in that. If we can't think clearly, if we lose right. our health and right. we're all, right. you know, with Alzheimer's or whatever, we're not going to solve any problems.
Dane, how many people roughly are there in the United States, do you think? Is that 320 million? 330 million?
I think we're about 330 right now, okay. somewhere in that range, yeah.
And the chemtrails have been spraying coast to coast, haven't they, in probably every state?
All over the globe.
Okay. Well, here's just an idea. If everybody in the United States, 330 million people, all filed a claim against the government for spraying of aluminum, that I think would get their attention, don't you think?
It would, and we need that type of effort. In fact, to hold in whatever legal arena, obviously that helps us to generate credible, critical awareness, and that's what mm-hmm. we need to do. And we have geoengineeringwatch.org does have a team of attorneys. We've already filed in Canada. We're trying to file in the U.S. The U.S. has gone to great length to orchestrate the system in a manner that makes it particularly difficult to bring this type of suit into a court. But we're dealing with that, and we're going to be able to hurdle that. But they've put a lot of roadblocks up on purpose. They knew this would come. This being said, I do encourage people to do exactly what you described, and also to hold accountable their local health agencies, air quality testing people, all of whom are simply lying for a paycheck and pension in most cases. With some of those people, the denial is so deep that they don't even consciously, they won't face this issue. But I know USDA scientists, Forest Service scientists, Fish and Game scientists, NOAA scientists, who all know this is going on. Right. They're afraid to step out of the shadows, and we need to provide them enough public awareness where they can step out of the shadows.
Dane, if people wanted to support your wonderful group with education and your efforts, could you give out your website, please, and how do they contact you?
It's geoengineeringwatch.org. There's a contact button there. Our site, we don't sell anything. We're non-political. We simply are a data repository. And the greatest way people can help is to from their own home computer, from their own circle of friends and associates, share credible data with them. Wake them up to the fact that this is going on in their skies. This is geoengineering is not a proposal, because you have every science institution around the globe talking about this issue, every country around the globe. They're simply not officially admitting it's going on, and we need to bring this issue to light desperately. We supply activist materials to activists in the field all over the country. We do that for free. In any resources or contributions we get to the site goes to the activism outreach. We're simply trying to get the word out. That's our only purpose.
Now, you the post that I saw that you did on Facebook showed a weather map of the United States, Dane, and it was very interesting because you scanned the weather map, Dane, and guess where has the coldest temperatures in the entire United States, and I would probably Canada too, and that would be North Dakota.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're exactly right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then and I want everyone out there to get a copy of to look at a copy of Dane's wonderful research at www.geoengineeringwatch.org. And I'm not I want them to look at the article and also look at the weather map and make up their own minds, because ultimately you have to, if you feel that it's true, you should resonate with it, and if not, then disregard it. But if you look at that weather map, isn't it strange? And I think it's more than coincidence, because Professor Albert Einstein always said that God doesn't play with dice, that in the entire United States and Canada, that's the coldest place in this entire continent. But why is that the coldest place? And then you look at the protests, of course. Now, the pipeline's been resolved, but it makes you wonder, looking at that map, seeing that as the coldest place. And they're getting a lot of snow, aren't they?
They got record snow. So, we had the warmest autumn on record, and then transitioned immediately to record snow with a bullseye over that spot.
Right.
And when we can see on satellite imagery not just the bands of above freezing rain, which was the case when this first started. I realize it's much below freezing there now, but it wasn't when it started. We can see those bands flashing out. Snowed here at my location in Northern California several days ago at 43 degrees. Why is it snowing at 43 degrees? And when you're outside in a quiet location like I was here, all you can hear, because I live in the wilderness, all you can hear over the tops of the clouds is aircraft. And that is not the case on any normal day. All you can hear is jets going over. So the bottom line is, yes, when it's that cold here and there's a bullseye of the most below normal temperatures parked right on that location, and at the very same time it's almost 60 degrees above normal in the Arctic,
right,
with record ice melt, we should know something's wrong. And let me, another example of this, last year, on December 25th, last year, over the, when it was record cold in the lower 48, on December 25th last year, it was 40 degrees and raining at the North Pole. 40 degrees and raining at the North Pole.
40 degrees and raining? Oh, my goodness.
On December 25th, and no one talks about that.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot we're not being told, but people need to understand weather's being used as a weapon, not just against opposing countries, but actually against our own citizens, period.
This weather modification, I should tell you, during the Atlantean times, I'm told, that was one of the reasons for the downfall of that civilization, because they mess with Mother Nature, and you know what? Gaia, or the planet, didn't like it, and she rebelled, and the civilization collapsed in and of itself. I don't see that happening here, by the way. I think that my friends from the Galactic Alliance say that, I've been asked repeatedly, when will this will stop? I got within 2 years, completely stopped. So, but it's not that you should stop your efforts, Dane, because you should keep up your efforts. I'm going to certainly keep up mine in educating people about this, because I think that needs to be done as to raising public awareness. But that we are getting help behind the scenes to turn this around.
Well, we certainly need all the help we can get. And for your listeners as well, I encourage them at geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, we don't sell anything. So you can go to the site, and on the left column, you can download our color glossy informational flyers for free. Mm-hmm. You can print them locally. Mm-hmm. We have prepackaged links there and letters that you can, it's all set to go. All you need to do is find out who to send it to, an Alzheimer's group, autism group, environmental groups, agricultural mm-hmm. groups. And if you send them a flaming arrow, if you will, you send them that package with an intro letter to the subject and credible links, it's all prepackaged. Help us to start those spot fires of awareness everywhere so we can bring this issue to light, so we can raise human consciousness, we can reach a critical mass of awareness on this issue. Because mm-hmm. once we do, I would argue this is the most galvanizing, catalyzing issue of all when people all over the globe know that Earth's life support systems are being systematically torn apart, their health is being damaged,
right?
And we could unite the entire planet literally on this issue if we got it to light.
Now, Dane, I wanted to tell you, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left, and you were telling me a little bit off air before we started today's interview about the some sort of strange weather in Australia and Kuwait. Could you tell me a little bit about that? What, a storm? Was it
It's called now thunderstorm asthma epidemic. Now, how many people have heard of thunderstorm asthma before?
Never.
The only incidences before were the same circumstances where there's a lot of moisture. We know the weather modifying programs try to really focus on that extra rain, and they do extra heavy dispersions in those areas. So we had in Australia about 3 weeks ago, we had almost 10,000 people put in the hospital from a thunderstorm asthma attack, and we had about 10 mortalities. So we just...
I'm sorry.
Hang on one second. I'm having audio. Hang on.
Can you hear me?
So,
okay.
I got you now. Okay.
All right.
So we had... I apologize for that. We had about almost 10,000 hospital entries from that quote thunderstorm asthma epidemic. Just happened again in Kuwait. Over 1,000. Now let me back into this, because in Australia they always try to pacify the public so people don't suspect what's going on. So they blamed it on ryegrass pollen, some other types of pollen that don't exist in Kuwait.
Or maybe they blame it on the Russians, like we do here sometimes.
Well, there you go. The Russians are responsible for everything, according to our media. But so the same thing just happened in Kuwait, where there was none of those pollen-producing elements that were in Australia. So why did the same thing just happen again? Now we just got a warning a few days ago from toxic fog in London. There was a health warning that went out that the fog would be toxic in London.
Toxic fog? Oh, boy.
When we know respiratory mortality is going off the scale. From 2005 to 2010, it went from 8th on the list of mortality in the U.S. to 3rd. That's a gargantuan increase. We think it's in 2nd or even 1st now, but the CDC is hiding that. So the bottom line is, yes, we are getting these huge harbingers of the massive amounts of toxic elements that are raining down on us that we're all breathing in. And one thing your listeners can do, Ted, if they go out on a night when they see this aerosol operations, the aircraft trails that spread, cover the sky, if it's a still night, go out with a bright light and aim it up. And I know there's particles in the atmosphere all the time. It's 10 times worse on those days. It looks like it's snowing. That's how much metal's coming down.
Wow.
And so much metal has fallen on us here, to put this into some mathematical terms. So much metal has fallen on us here in Northern California, where we have the soil pH baseline values, historical values. I have them in my possession, USDA studies. The soil pHs have changed 10 to 12 times toward alkaline here because of the loading from the metals that are coming down in precipitation, 10 to 12 times toward alkaline.
Well, I wanted to tell you, we've only got a little more minute left, Dane, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I had an astrologer on my show 2 years ago named Susan Miller out of New York City. She's a wonderful person and very, very accurate. And she said, one thing I remember from her interview was that beginning in 2014 through the rest of this decade into the 2020s and 30s, is that this is a time of truth, that things that are true will become self-evident, and those that are false will also become known to be false and fall by the wayside. So, and I want to thank you so much for raising consciousness with your work. I think it's good for people to know about this so they can at least take action. If they're in an area where there is being sprayed heavily, that they can take appropriate precautions, including perhaps moving or chelation to take the heavy metals out, and also contacting, like you said, their elected officials who should do something about it. Real brief, we've got about a minute left, and I'll give you the rest of the time. A week from today, we'll be having a gentleman on who is part of the Secret Space Program, and I think he's actually lived on Mars and also on the moon, and I think you'll find his interview just fascinating. But go ahead, Dane, we've got about a minute left, and I want to give you the rest of the time.
I just want to state that people are trained to believe that they're helpless, that they can't really make a difference by trying to sound the alarm, and that is absolutely not true. So mathematically speaking, if one person conveys credible data to two people at the start of a 30-day month, those two people to two each the second day, that goes exponential. And after 30 days, it's about 5.5 million people would be reached if you simply took those steps. we could reach critical mass very quickly if you arm yourself with credible data, share that credible data with others, and help us to bring this issue to light.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dane. Everyone, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.